incredible retreat already. Oh, Heather Hoffman did such a fabulous job last night. I know that I could speak for everyone here. You went home and you ruminated over the things that she said. I texted her this morning because I thought that her phone would have blown up last night. But it was powerful. Her testimony was powerful and her message was powerful. And then my friend Linda Hansen, man, she hit it out of the park. I knew she would. I love her. I really love her. Well, welcome. And I know that you're either a mother-in-law, a daughter-in-law, or soon to be one of the two. I pray that you leave here encouraged with some kind of a nugget to take with you wherever stage of life that you're in. But I want to invite Holy Spirit to come. Lord, excuse me. Lord, we welcome you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this theme that you've already woven into our retreat. We need each other. Lord, we need you. And we thank you, Lord, for the confirmation over and over again that you will not leave us or forsake us. Lord, we want to love like you. We want to look like you. We want to smell like you. We want to be like you. And we know that's the desire of your heart too. So Lord, I invite you, and we invite you, and we ask, Lord, that at the end of this session, Lord, that you will have spoken to each one of us ladies in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I'm just beyond honored to get to talk to you about the art of being an in-law. I had a Naomi. I had this woman, and I'll just tell you the scripture that is this. When they asked me to do the art of being an in-law, the Lord reminded me, and I wrote the things down. And I use a lot of, excuse me, the Amplified and the Message, just because in the morning is. My mother-in-law taught me many years ago, 40 years ago, she sat a Living Bible out and a New American Standard, and she had all these different versions, and she would say, listen to how this one says it. So I have a real passion for, I love the Word of God. I love the different versions. I love drawing every single morning from the Word, and I really love expounding on the Word. And so this one says, for we, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. Isn't that beautiful? Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would work in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. This is what my mother-in-law poured into me. I wish I could have put her picture up here on the TV screen, but I do not know how to do it. She was, if you looked at her picture, you would love her. I pray that my story, her story, would be a blessing. I grew up, and I'm really going to be honest with you. I did not know a Christian. We did not have grandparents. We didn't have aunts around. My mom had 13 brothers and sisters. I have 57 first cousins, but they all live in Massachusetts, in which I am close to a lot of them now as an adult. But we grew up, and we did not have any influence. We moved so much that my mom and dad, when they were married, didn't invest in time and people. They really just had each other, and they fought like crazy. So it wasn't a happy, good home. Love my siblings, love my mom, loved my dad, but it wasn't ideal by any stretch of the imagination. My parents divorced when I was 12. I started smoking pot at 12, cigarettes at 12, and then it just went on, you know, harder drugs, and then I just was, broken, just a broken girl. Both of my parents were bartenders. My mom had 3 different jobs, and she was never home, so we really just did whatever we wanted. I graduated high school. up at Mount Carmel. We were the first 4-year graduates, and really, truly, I look back and just go, man, Lord, how in the world did you do that? I think I schmoozed my way through high school. But at 18, I was working in a deli, and in walked this construction worker. Tan, buff, long, blonde hair, and I was like, whoa, I'll make you a sandwich. I continue to this day, 41 years later, I make his sandwiches. Yeah. About a month after we got together, we decided we were going to move in together. And he went to go introduce me to his mom. As a Christian woman, I want you to know that I have been walking with God since I was 21. So I'm going to be 61. So I have a lot of history with Jesus, but I had a past without him. So Paul introduces me to his mother, and I walked in, and I was like, hi, I'm Kathy. I'm moving in with your son. And she said, oh, and you're just as lovely as he said you were. If you don't hear anything else, will you listen to me? If she would have said, and my son knows better, or if she said, and I trained him different than that. She didn't. And I promise you, I was looking at her. There was no judgment. There was no condemnation. There was no disappointment. There was truly only love in her eyes. Now, as a mom, I can only imagine what was going on in her heart. Do you know what I mean? She trained up my husband different than that. But she did not hold me accountable for what she knew I didn't know, which opened this huge door for her to be able to speak truth and love to me and me believe her. So Romans, which I love this, that how many times I was like, oh, Lord, here you are with that scripture. Here you are with that scripture. Romans 2:4. In the Message says, in kindness he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. He led me into a radical life change when I met this woman. Her kindness towards me drew me to her. Paul would drop me off. We moved in. Paul bought a condo in Santee, and he would drop me off at her house sometimes and let me just spend the day because I didn't have another car. And can I just tell you, she invited me into her life. If you're a mother-in-law and your kids, you know, pick mates, spouses, boyfriends and girlfriends that are just like, are you kidding me? You have a lot of influence just by loving and inviting them into your life. It might not be a forever, it might not be, but you will always make a difference by loving others. So my in-laws, this is really cool, where I live now and where we've been in this house for about 30 years, my in-laws live right behind me, where my son and daughter-in-law and 5 grandkids live in that house. So it's really a beautiful thing. But I wanted to tell you that my mother-in-law opened up such a door of safety for me. You guys, I cannot even imagine what she thought. We've since talked about it. But when she met me and I... let her be in my life, I can only imagine the calluses on her knees when she took me to the Lord. Over the course of time, as she shared with me the things of the kingdom and the heart of Jesus and his goodness, there was a time when she said, and all we have to do is invite him into our hearts, and we can be saved. We believe with our mouth, our heart, we confess with our mouth, and we shall be saved, that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I was like, that's all? Yes. Would you like to do that? I said, yes, please. She knelt in her couch and prayed with me, and I received Jesus. And I'm telling you, I was a different girl. What a beautiful woman, right? I mean, she just was, through her obedience, she changed my life. Through your obedience to the Lord, and it might be ugly, and it might be, this is like a lot what Linda was talking about. Sometimes it's ugly, it's messy, but oh man, is it worth it? There are gals who, and young men, I know I'm speaking really for mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, but we have son-in-laws too. But some of them do not, they really, truly do not know. So anyway, she had no idea how her obedience and devotion to Jesus would completely change my life. She just walked. She just did what was in front of her, and it changed me. I'm sorry. Pastor Dave just spoke this last weekend on how he and Mary have prayed for their kids' spouses. And my mother-in-law had said to me, you are everything. When we got engaged and when she knew that we were going to get married, was when she spoke that life into me. You are who I've prayed for Paul's life. And I was like, me? You prayed for me? And she said, every day of your life. Man, those words just brought life to me. It changed me. It made it to where I have always prayed for my kid's spouse. And how beautiful for Dave to say that from the pulpit the other day. I was just like, Lord, thank you that we as kingdom people get to pray for our children. And but what she did for me when she said that, the scripture says, I apologize, in your little thing it says Proverbs 18:21, but it's not. It's a little typo. It's Proverbs 8:21. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. My mother-in-law bore the consequences of her words. And, you know, sometimes we hear that, you know, you're going to bear the consequence, and we think, uh-oh. No, this is a good thing, right? It isn't a negative thing when we, our consequences don't have to be negative. They can be a very good thing. The consequence is, she brought hope from her words, life into me, and I was able to love her back. Like I said, I got to live right by my mother-in-law, my in-laws, and I love them so much. And just to say, I didn't have a good dad. I had a hurting dad who hurt himself. I got hurt in the process of him hurting himself, but it really was just self hurt for my father. So when I got saved and my mother-in-law told me about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, when you've never heard that before, it's like, what? And I was like, you know, the Holy Spirit is comforter or peace or the presence of God. And I was just like, I believe, I receive. And Jesus, Savior, I believe, God the Father, no comprende. I that was a thing that took me a lot of years. But then I got a father-in-law who loved me and showed me what a father was. And so I just want to give him kudos because he was my dad. But my mother-in-law had osteoporosis really bad, where it took her from 5'3", 5'4", to about 4'7". She was completely humped over and in a wheelchair for the last 4 years of her life. So I had an opportunity, because God placed us so close to each other, to go down and get her up in the morning and dressed and at the table. And I could go down at night and get her ready for bed and put her to bed. And I fed them for 4 years. My honor, my privilege and honor. And she would say, as I bathed her, I would do anything for this woman. She would say, I know you never thought you would be doing this. I would think, I'm going to heaven because of you. I would do anything for you. I would do anything for her. And I just really, really loved her. At night, this is really beautiful. The Lord is so good. You know, there's not a topic in Scripture that we can't say he didn't cover that. No, he covered that, right? He gave us relationships to look at. There's Ruth and Naomi, right? This is a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law that were devoted, that it was hard, that it was sad. But they did it, and they loved each other. And I would put my mother-in-law to bed, and she would say, good night, Ruth. I'd say, good night, Naomi. Every night. Because of her too, you know, I have prayed with my for my children, spouses, every day. And I'm thankful for who I believe the Lord put with my children. I've loved my in-law children with all of my heart. All of my heart. And we've gone through incredible joys of marriages. And we've gone through extreme heartaches of divorce. I have two kids that got married, and I have three kids. They're the most incredible people on the planet. I'm not kidding either. I've gone through two divorces, and I'm just telling you that it just broke my heart. And when you're going through that as a mother-in-law, you know, when you've poured into somebody's life, and you will, you know, statistically, if we look around, the sad thing is we're all going to be affected. We all will be affected, and somehow, hopefully, you know, by divorce. It hurts. It hurts bad, especially when you've poured into someone and loved someone. We still have to be careful with our words, especially if there's children. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of things I wanted to say, but I didn't. And I didn't say what I wanted to say because of my mother-in-law. She really taught me to watch my words. In our hurt, we want to hurt, right? And I know, I'm confident that if you asked my two not in-laws anymore, what I think of them, they will say, Kathy loves me. And I'm thankful. In the privacy of my home, I have really been honest with the Lord and with my husband about how I have felt about them. The truth is I love them. I gave my heart to them. And I really love them. But 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, and endures all things without weakening. Isn't that just a beautiful translation? Just love it. So because of my mother-in-law, I was able to be a mother-in-law. And can I just tell you, God truly does bring beauty from ashes. My son's wife. Just didn't want to be a mom anymore and just didn't want to be a wife and left him with these two little babies. Can I just tell you how God has brought him the most incredible woman? They have five. She had two. He had two. And they have Teddy. And they live right behind me. And, going through that hard thing and see what God has done with this daughter-in-law, that it, wow. And I'm thankful, too, again, when I do see my ex-daughter-in-law, she'll say, I love you. I know she does. And I know she knows I love her. But, oh, Emma, I'm so thankful for what God has brought me. So as mother-in-laws, as mothers, we raise our kids with the hope that they will become productive adults. We really raise them to start their families. But it's not easy. Sometimes we still want to take on the role that we have always had as moms. It's a beautiful thing, and I will get to that. We are to give our kids the blessing with our words and our actions to be able to set up their own homes, set up their own traditions, set up their own decorating ideas. it's just kind of hard. Sometimes we just need help to know how to be a mother-in-law, right? I just want to just have you turn on the other side of that paper if you just want to take a few notes on. I just wrote a few rules of being a mother-in-law. And, one is just be a grace giver. Give grace to your daughter-in-law. They don't know how to do it. I think of the things. I was so young. I was 19 when we got married, 20 when I had my first baby, then 21, and then 24. And my mother-in-law made me feel like I did it all right. Do you know what I mean? And I felt like I did because of her. We really have a lot of power with our to help our daughter-in-laws to set them up for success. The impact we have on them could be eternal. The things that my mother-in-law allowed me to learn by myself. She didn't have to have an opinion, and she didn't. I mean, I'm sure she did. But she didn't push her opinion on me. She said things so kind. And Holy Spirit does that to us. We know him. Before we open our mouth, he gives us an opportunity. Don't say that. Don't say that. Say that. I loved how Linda was saying that. He is so good, right? He desires relationship. So if we want to say, I remember that this is my mother, I'm driving my mother-in-law in the car one day, and this car drove by. It was like a gremlin, some of you, and it was like, periwinkle, purpley blue. And I thought, I said out loud, if that isn't the ugliest car I've ever seen, who would pick that color? And she said, they would. And they think it's pretty. And I was like, everything's in the eye of the beholder. And I was just like, Lord, I didn't have to have an opinion. Do you know what I mean? And she just so lovingly, they like it. Can I just tell you, there are times when I want to say ugly things, but I think of what she would say. But they like it. Okay. So anyway, our daughter-in-laws really want us to listen to them. They create a safe place in a relationship the very beginning. You will learn things about her because she feels safe with you. Some things you don't want to know. we need to be a good listener. And lots of times not even have an answer. Just listen. Just listen to her. I'm really grateful. My mother-in-law listened to me. A role model as a mother-in-law is be authentic. Be authentically you. Because you're unique and she needs to see you. Not who you wish you were. Be authentically you. Be consistent with who you are, who you say you are. Be her. I taught a class a few times, and it was a Beth Moore Bible study, and I'll tell you what, it's called Sacred Secrets, if any of you took that with me or if you've ever done it. I don't remember much about it. It's been a lot of years, but one thing I do remember, I'll never forget, is she just said, be authentic. Be authentic with all, transparent with most, and intimate with few. And I just thought, oh, that is so good. Authentic with all. Pam, you be who you say you are to everybody. Transparent with most. Holy Spirit will tell you. Don't say that. She's not safe. But intimate. Intimate. You don't have to tell everybody all your stuff. And we want to teach that to our daughter-in-laws. Just create a safe place. Be an encourager. And again, be a 1 Corinthians 13:7. Hope all things, believe all things, trust all things. That's what love looks like. And it will make your daughter-in-laws believe in themselves, who they are in Jesus, if we do those things to them, for them, about them. When you say things in public about them, it'll come back. Our words have power. As mother-in-laws, you could be a boundary setter. You could set your own boundaries. I really appreciate and love my mother-in-law. She would say, I'm not the babysitter. And I would go, you're not? And she'd say, no, I have a life. We have a life. So you ask, and ask me first. But if I already have plans, I will say no. Can I just tell you, I knew that right off the bat, that I'll ask her first. But if she already has plans, she's not going to change her plans for me. That was very, very wise. I didn't suck her dry. I knew right away what my boundary was, what her boundary was. She valued her marriage. And if she had plans, which they camped 1 month, 1 week, 1 month out of the month, they camped 1 week out of the month. That was precious to them. And on Thursday nights, they met with all of their friends and they went down to the beach and had a bonfire. I knew that. And so I didn't ask them for those times. I knew that was precious to her. And she did that with her husband and that was their time. It's okay to set healthy boundaries for your children, for your, you know, in-laws, for your kids. It's good for them. You know what? It made me be able to do that. I have always practiced that too. My heart wants to go, of course, I will stop everything and babysit. But it's not my husband's. He really wants time with me, and it's very important for him. So I run everything past him first, and I'm careful. But I do. I just absolutely love those grandkids, all nine of them. I loved how Linda said that 18, there's big, true story, right? Because if you pulled each one of my grandkids away by themselves, they would say, but I'm Nana's favorite. But I'm Nana's favorite, and they are. So anyway, they are. Anyway, it's so fun at this. I have two granddaughters that are in college, and they're away in Arizona. And they text me every single week. Oh, Nana, I miss you. Oh, Nana, I love you. And I just think, oh, does it get any better than this? Love them. So that was just really important. So as a mother-in-law, just set healthy boundaries. And then last, You are a mentor. You are a mentor. Your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law, they're watching you. And you are the front line. Your life, you're mentoring them and how you pour into them. My middle daughter, Erin, just got married a few years ago. I know a lot of you know her, a lot of you don't. She's darling, and she's one that you would never hear an unkind thing come out of her mouth. She has had 2 kidney transplants. I got to give her a kidney, and my oldest daughter got to give her a kidney years later. She owes us big time. We make sure she knows this. Sad prognosis with doctors, but they don't know what they're talking about. Erin got married and has a baby that a young gal at our church, Erica Steckler, carried, my grandbaby. I know. Isn't that just beautiful? But my son-in-law didn't come from this either. Community was raised Catholic, and they just didn't do body of Christ. Well, he has watched, and he's watching. And can I just tell you, he has just jumped with both feet in. And it took a while, but he loves it. We do at our house what we call Second Sunday. The second Sunday of every month, all of my kids and all of my grandkids have to come to my house for dinner. So they know, don't make plans on that. That's my day. So it's one time a month. It's, you know, anyway, he loves all of the things. He loves all of the things. So for our son-in-laws to watch, be consistent. Do the things. Talk about the things of the Lord in your home. They're listening. They're listening. So as a, and you know what's really hard too? My daughter's been in the hospital a lot and over the years. And as a mother-in-law, I've always been there for her. I have slept on the floor. I have slept in a chair. I have slept in my car. I do not leave my baby girl if she is in the hospital. I have had to turn that over and give that to my son-in-law. Can I just tell you that he's done it really, really well? He's done it really well, but that was very hard as a mom to give over. We have to let our children have their families and allow our son-in-laws to take up their rightful role. Our daughter-in-laws too. We leave our mother and father. We cleave to, and it's hard as mother-in-laws. So, but you know what? It's been a beautiful thing, but it's been a hard thing. Anyway, as a daughter-in-law, be a grace giver. Be a grace giver. I can't tell you, I have a business that I get to have a lot of women in my home every day. And I'm so sad when I hear, I do not like my mother-in-law, or I do not like my daughter-in-law, and yet both have so much to offer each other. If you're a daughter-in-law, chances are your mother-in-law's older than you. She has life experience. She has things that you need. God is good. Please draw from her. And I get that we live in an area, backgrounds. We have drug backgrounds. We have a whole lot of things that could turn us off from our mother-in-laws. I don't care what the situation is. If she's your mother-in-law, she has something to offer you. Honor her. Daughter-in-laws, honor your mother-in-laws. I'm not saying don't set healthy boundaries, but what I'm saying is ask the Lord to find something that you can honor your mother-in-law. They want to feel respected. They want to feel honored, and they really are rightfully owed honor for their position. Daughter-in-laws, be a role model. Honor with your words. Another thing that I hear too is, I'm mad at my mother-in-law, and I'm not just going to let her see my kids. Don't ever do that. Do not ever withhold your children from your mother-in-law because you're mad at her. Right? I loved how Linda, You guys, I don't know whose name you wrote in that forgive. If it's your mother-in-law or if it's your daughter-in-law or if it's, you know what? We have got to forgive. We do, and work on it. We have incredible counseling here if there's issues. But please do not use your children as punishment. That's just not right. And it's sad to know that is how it is sometimes. We can't do that. Do not do that. You can be a boundary setter. I had a daughter-in-law that made it very clear when she married my son, do not surprise me and just come over without calling. And I was like, okay. And you know what? I really respected it because she set a boundary for her. I have this open door that people is just a revolving door. It's always how we've done our family. Everybody comes in. So I didn't know that. But as being married, my kids have always had kids that have come over. We to this day have a lot of incredible friends. If they're in the neighborhood, they know they can stop at my house. I have a business in my house. So people are always at my house. So I did not, okay. So how it really started was I had brought groceries. I brought, because my in-laws practiced that. If they went to the commissary, they brought bread and milk and eggs and cheese and blah, blah, blah. I did that to my daughter-in-law. I popped in on her and she said, don't ever do that to me again. And I was like, okay. Feel your daughter-in-law out. And it, because you know what? It could just be a safety thing for her too. And that's okay. My daughter-in-law now has a home like I do. And I'll tell you, it's really a beautiful thing. When I'm done for the day, I oftentimes sneak down just to hug kids and see them. Usually I let them know, but Jamie has music playing so she doesn't get her phone. But I love to walk into the atmosphere at my daughter-in-law's, but really feel, and daughter-in-law's, like in a loving way, what is your boundary? And it's okay to have a boundary. If you could, I don't like to be surprised. I have a sister who doesn't like to be surprised. Please don't pop in. It's okay to set a healthy boundary in love, and especially if you do that right away. Just let your mother-in-law know what your boundary is. Just do everything in kindness. Do everything in love. It goes a long, long way, and it's okay. Marianne Hill, there's Marianne. Marianne, you're doing such a fabulous job with the mentoring, the women's mentoring. It was an honor to do that. We didn't know what the names were. There was a mentor and we said mentee. So that's what we stuck with over all these years. And a mentee. So the daughter-in-law, you're like gleaned from your mentor, your mother. She has something to offer you. Whether she is the only, she's not a Christian, but she can tell you what her grandma's recipe. Or, do you know what I mean? She has something to offer you. Be a mentee. Glean from her as your mother-in-law. There's a lot of things to take away. I hope I've left you with, I was thinking of my mom. So my mom was my age. She was 60, and she had a brain aneurysm. And when they went in to go fix the brain aneurysm, she had a massive stroke. So she came to live with me, and she lived with us for 17 years. I know, and it was such a blessing. If you ever had an opportunity to know my mom, you're never the same. And it was a beautiful, because what I want to say is sometimes your lives are going to look a little different. You think, my mother-in-law, I'm not going to take care of my mother-in-law until... My mother-in-law was in her way late 80s, early 90s, but it's not always the case. Sometimes you end up taking care of, loving, having the honor to take care of your in-law or mom a lot earlier than you think you will. But the way you love both of them, your children are watching. I have tender-hearted kids. My mom... lost her whole right side, all of her speech, and so we got to teach her how to talk again and walk again and do all the things. And she came to live with us because I was the only one of my siblings that could do that. Bless my husband. My husband let his disabled mother-in-law live with him for 17 years. And he would say at times, go away. Go for the weekend. Just tell me what to make her and give her a bath before you leave. But go away. What a good man. So can I just tell you, when I just want to be so mad at him, the Lord always reminds me, okay, he let your mom live with you for 17 years. But the role model that, what you're showing your children by loving your in-laws, by loving your parents, is eternal. I'm convinced that if something happened to me, my kids would take care of me. They would love me and they would honor me because they watched what God has done, and they're tender, tender with my in-laws, with my mom. It was beautiful. So I just want to leave you with, I can't believe it's a good commandment. It is a good commandment. So as you don't know, be open to what God has for your life, the plans he has for you. They are good. And even when Heather's, talk, when all of a sudden, boop, there you are faced with something, trust the Lord that he has a plan, that it's beautiful and it's eternal. The consequences of it are eternal. So I just want to close in prayer, okay? Lord, thank you for being here. Again, God, we all just want to be the best daughter-in-laws, the best mother-in-laws. We need your help. Some relationships are easy and some are hard. And so, Lord, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that we can glean from each other our experiences, offer each other hope. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Lord, help us to be grace givers. Whether we're mother-in-laws or whether we're daughter-in-laws, we have to give each other grace. Help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to be role models to our children, Lord, as they are watching. They will watch. And Lord, we need help setting healthy boundaries for our lives. Would you do that for us, Lord? Would you help us as daughter-in-laws? Would you help us as mother-in-laws? Give us creative ways, God, to set healthy boundaries for our own homes. And Lord, our desire, God, is to help everyone. Lord, point everyone to you. And so, Lord, we love you. We love you. We thank you now, God, for our in-laws, for our mother and father-in-laws, for our kids. Lord, we commit to praying and loving for them and being the best we can be in you. In Jesus' name, amen.